Saying what the title of my message is today, it's that Jesus is always on time. Jesus is always on time. And when I was in school and being taught how to speak, how to debate, how to do those kinds of things, they said to you, never use words, or you shouldn't use words like always and never and every, those kinds of words, because that when you think about what those words mean, that means that there's nothing outside of that. When you say always, that means every single time. It never doesn't happen, if you can say that. But at any rate, Jesus is always on time. And maybe you've been in a circumstance, maybe you've been praying about a particular situation, and you've been waiting. And you've been waiting and waiting. And you're waiting for God to do something. And then he does. And then he does. And by and large, when that happens, it's not the way we expected it to happen. And it's totally outside the realm of what we've been thinking. But it happens the way he wants it to happen. And he's always on time. He comes at the time when he will receive the highest degree of glory. That's when he comes. And so I wanted to just make you aware of what the message title is today. Everyone should have been given one of these green sheets of paper. Everyone get one of these. On it is a quiz that we're going to be, it's going to be kind of an interactive thing that we're going to be doing during the message. And it's going to be vitally important that you pay attention to what you're going to see on the screen and what's going to be presented here today, because it's going to benefit you with relationship to this quiz here. Okay? But before we get to any of that, just very recently, in fact, just this weekend, we were made aware of a testimony that my daughter kind of experienced, and so I'm going to have my wife, Billy Sue, come up and share that testimony about what happened with our daughter, Leanne.
How many of the youth that are teenagers were at our house with Leanne for the small group a couple Sundays ago? How many were there? Alex and Ron and Jordan, okay, Taylor. So there were several at our house, and Leanne, she told me she was going to do this, and I believe she did. Showed you all a video clip of Beth Moore and a little testimony that she gave, okay? And Leanne said she wanted to show that clip to kind of convey that our, as Christians, our obedience to God and hearing the voice of God. So in that little clip that she showed you all, it was Beth Moore heard God speak to her, and then she obeyed hesitantly, but she obeyed and she received a blessing from it. And so I want you teenagers to know that Leanne, she does practice what she preaches or what she teaches you all. And as Dave said, this testimony is her testimony, but I wanted to share it this morning, and Dave wanted you all to hear it also as it goes along with his message. Okay, this week Leanne had been talking to me about driving to Chattanooga. She'd wanted me to go, and I said, Leanne, I just don't think I can go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's a 9-10 hour drive. You know, I'd love to, but we have a lot of responsibilities this weekend at home. And she said, okay, well, maybe I'll go by myself. Oh, Leanne, please don't drive 9 or 10 hour trip, road trip by yourself. Maybe it'd been a little bit better if it was a guy or it was her brother, but I didn't want Leanne as a girl to be driving down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to her brother's house to actually babysit his dogs, the dog sit, okay? I just didn't think that was of utmost importance. But she insisted, and so, you know, I was just kind of struggling with the thought of her driving down there. I just had Natalie on Thursday. I had driven her to the airport in Kansas City to fly out to Germany, and because of the tornadoes, her flight had been delayed, and, you know, they were talking about all the tornadoes in the area, and she had to fly to Chicago to Germany. So I was already a little bit anxious about my daughters. And then I get back from Kansas City, and Thursday night, and Leanne says, well, I'm going to leave Friday morning on this trip. Okay, Leanne. And Pastor had come over, and he said, well, let's pray for Leanne. She's going to make this long trip down to Chattanooga by herself. Let's pray for her. And we prayed for her and just asked the Lord to protect her and angels be around about her, keeping her safe on her little road trip. And I had spoken to the Lord about this situation because I didn't have a peace about it, you know, and the Lord had said, you can trust me, Billy Sue, with your daughter. You can trust me. She's my daughter also. And so I felt okay, you know, Lord, I just entrust her to you because I thought, you know, I don't want her to be alone. And the Lord had said, she's not alone. I'm with her. And that just reassured me, and I had somewhat of a peace. Okay, Saturday morning I get up, and the phone rings. I answer it, and it's Leanne, and she says, guess what, Mom? And when she says, guess what, Mom, I don't know if that's a guess what good or a guess what bad, you know, and my heart kind of jumped. Okay, she's had a flat tire, fender bender. What happened? She's lost. She went north instead of south. Which would be typical Leanne. And she said, well, I'm in Kentucky right now, and I just made my first stop to get gasoline. I thought, okay, this is going to be a good guess what. And she said, yeah, as I was filling my tank up with gasoline, an older gentleman in latter 60s, probably maybe 70, pulled up in a little red sports car. And we were the only two out there at the pump getting gasoline. And Mom, the Lord spoke to me and said to pay for his gas. And she said, I questioned the Lord on that because he's driving a little red sports car. He had money to pay for gasoline. And yet, she heard the voice of the Lord saying, I want you to pay for his gas, Leanne. So she said, okay. To the Lord, okay, I will. This is just spoken to her in her heart. So she went inside and got some Skittles and was standing in line to pay for her candy. And she wanted to get in and pay for his and then get out so that he would not know who paid for his gasoline. And so in here he comes, and he's right in back of her, and they are at the counter of the sales clerk. And so she said, well, I'm going to have to tell him because he's going to see that I'm paying for his gasoline. So she turns around to the gentleman and says, sir, I want to pay for your gasoline. You see, I'm a Christian, and the Lord spoke to me about just blessing you by paying for your gas. And he smiled at her and said, well, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And so they were kind of going back and forth. Yes, I really want to. You know, I'm a Christian, and I want to pay for your gasoline. The Lord has spoken to me about doing this. And the sales clerk is saying, well, who's paying? Someone pay. And he said, let me pay for your Skittles. I'm going to pay for my gasoline. And Leanne had already used her credit card at the pump, so her gasoline was paid for. So he bought her Skittles. And they continued outside in the parking lot. And he said, ma'am, I'm a Christian also. And I'm just want you to know that the past year I have just been so financially strapped because I'm a farmer and I had my crops fail this year. My corn, I grow corn, and my corn was destroyed. And I was just really in a financial problem. But unexpectedly, I got an inheritance, And this has paid my debts and taken care of me. And, you know, the Lord is just so good in blessing me financially this year. And so at that, he said, he pulled out his wallet. He pulled out $50, and he said, "Here, young lady, at your next gasoline station, when you need to fill up, you either fill up or you pay for somebody else's gasoline." He says, "I just want to bless you because you heard God speak to you, because you were obedient, and because of your boldness." And so he handed her $50 and got in his car and drove off. It was just, Leanne said, "I got in my car and I just began to cry. I just began to weep at the goodness of the Lord." And I want to end with this scripture because the scripture is just so fitting. Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us."
That was an amazing story from our daughter that she shared with us, and I'll be getting to how that relates to the message a little bit later. Just to kind of add to it, the gentleman told her, he says, "You know, Sunday afternoon we're having a bunch of people out to our house that evening for kind of a Memorial Day celebration, and if you're on your way back, and my house is just up on the hill over there, and just come on over, we'd love to have you." So that's kind of, who knows what all might come as a result of that. Much of the message today is going to be coming to you by way of the video screen. And I just want to say, you know, today's technology is just amazing. You know, with what we can do with satellites and the internet and our phones and just everything that we have access to today, it's just amazing, you know, what that allows us to do. And there's really not a real good way I can explain what you're about to see here, because there's a time warp involved. But so I'll just say, let's join together and watch another exciting episode of Love Never Fails with Christy Jones.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Love Never Fails. Today we are on location just outside Jerusalem in a small village east of the Mount of Olives. The town is called Bethany, although locally people call it the town of Mary. We have heard some rumors that Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, is very ill. The siblings are hoping that their close friend Jesus of Nazareth will be here to heal him. And people here say that may be possible. In the past few months, there have been rumors from Jerusalem about healings, deliverances from demons, and profound teachings that are confounding the teachers and the rulers in the synagogues of Jerusalem. Because all of these things are centered around Jesus Christ of Nazareth, many people are saying he is the promised Messiah. However, many others say he is just simply another in a long string of false prophets. Whatever the truth is, we here at Love Never Fails are going to uncover it and do the best we can to find out what's happening. Right now, we're at the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And it looks like someone's coming out. Sir, excuse me, sir. Where are you going and why the hurry?
I really don't have time to talk. I have to keep going.
Sir, do you know where Jesus is? Do you know where to find him?
Well, the master's beyond the Jordan. I'll just look for a big crowd. He'll be right in their midst. I really got to get going, okay? See you later.
Folks, this is very exciting. This story is obviously developing, and time is of the essence here. Jesus Christ of Nazareth should be here in a couple of days. Right now, I'm going to go inside and see if I can talk with Martha and Mary, and if he's up to it, Lazarus, and we'll find out what's going on.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Folks, is your chariot in need of some body work? Have the races been a little rough lately? The crew at Randy's Chariot Shop will turn that rusty dinged up old wagon into a chariot of fire. Here's what one satisfied customer had to say.
After driving this buggy all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, it really needed some attention. Everybody told me at Randy's Chariot Shop, they'll treat you right. So I brought it in, now it looks good as new. They even gave me this pocket-sized scroll of the prophet Isaiah just to say thanks. Randy's Charity Shop definitely made me one happy unit.
Yes, sirree, folks. The boys at Randy's Chariot Shop will not only spruce up your chariot, they'll also give you a free pocket-sized scroll of your choice. Everything from the scrolls of Moses to Malachi, just as their way of saying, thanks for doing business at Randy's Chariot Shop. Hey, what's a pocket?
Thanks. Really, without Randy, where would we be? Right now, we are in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I believe that this might be Martha coming out of Lazarus's room, and she's obviously very upset.
I heard someone talking, and I thought maybe Jesus had finally arrived. May I get you something? I believe we have goat cheese. It's very good on unleavened bread with pomegranate juice. Excuse me.
Mary! We have a visitor! I could use some help here!
That sister of mine. Ever since my brother Lazarus is taken ill, all she wants to do is stay with him and talk with him and pray with him. You would think, after all these years being here, what else could they have to talk about? Especially since we have all this work to do.
I'm really sorry to trouble you. You're Martha, aren't you? And how's your brother doing?
Yes, I'm Martha. And my brother Lazarus, he's had better days. I keep telling him to hang in there, and his friend Jesus will be here soon.
I'm sure he's on his way. Let me ask you something. What's it like to be a close friend of Jesus of Nazareth?
I think I could enjoy being this friend a little more. It's just that lately, every time he comes, it's at supper time, and he always has all these people hanging around him. And then there's those disciples. Let's just say whenever they come around, I have my good silver. There's just one disciple, Judas Iscariot, I believe. I just don't trust him. But honestly, Jesus is much closer to Lazarus and Mary. That's why I need to get all of this work done.
Oh, please, please don't let me get in the way of your work. Would you mind if I visited with your brother Lazarus?
Suppose a short visit wouldn't harm him. Go ahead.
Mary!
I heard you calling, dear sister. What's the matter?
What's the matter, she says. What's the matter? We have a visitor and... I'm sorry, what's your name?
My name is Christy Jones, and...
Christy! That's a unique name. That sounds a lot like the word that we hear, Christos, which is translated to Christ or Messiah. I don't think I've heard a lot of people take that name.
Well, where I come from, it's actually pretty common. But enough about me. Let me ask you the same question I asked your sister. What is it like to be a close friend of Jesus?
It's really very wonderful. He's a better friend to me than even a brother or sister. Martha and Lazarus, they've been around me my entire life. But Jesus, the words he speaks, the way he cares, it goes so much deeper. It's like he not only cares about me, but he wants to make a difference in my life. That's why when he's near, I just want to be near him and hear the words he speaks. Does that make sense?
Sounds like you're pretty special to Jesus.
Oh no, just ask anyone who has ears to hear, and they'd say the same thing.
Well, I would like to ask your brother Lazarus a few questions. Do you think he's up for it?
Yes, he's having a very good day today. I think that'd be fine.
Thanks, Mary. This shouldn't take long. Good morning, Lazarus. I'm Christy Jones, the award-winning host of the top-rated program, Love Never Fails. I know you're not really feeling too well, but I would like to ask you just a couple of questions. First of all, how are you feeling?
Your name's Christy? That's a unique name. It sounds a lot like the Greek word Christos.
Yes, yes, I've heard this all before. Now please, I want you to tell me, how are you feeling? What seems to be the problem?
I feel pretty good today. I'm looking forward to when Jesus gets here. He's gonna fix me up as good as new. I think the problem has something to do with my heart, and Martha wanted me to make an appointment with Dr. Luke, but I'd much rather just wait here and look forward to when Jesus is going to be here. You know, epic deco my.
Yeah, that's what I always say, too. I'm sure your friend Jesus will be right on his way. I talked to your sisters about their relationship with Jesus, and I'd really like to ask you the same question. What is it like to have a close friendship with this man?
Jesus is more than a man. I believe he's our Messiah and my Savior. Before I was friends with him, I had all these questions, and when I became friends with him, it's like all the questions, answers to my questions were revealed through him.
I do have one last question. Do you really think that Jesus will make it here on time to heal you?
My friend Jesus is always on time, but let me say this. No matter what happens to me, I will always trust him.
Wow. Lazarus, that's amazing. What a testimony to all of our millions of viewers.
Did you say millions of viewers? Suddenly, it feels... Jesus.
Lazarus? Lazarus? Oops. Well, now we'll have another message from one of our sponsors.
If we could open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And as we're finding our way there, I just happened to think just a little bit as I was preparing the message, you know, there are four Gospels. And couldn't we have gotten by with just one? Would one Gospel have been enough? But as I did a little bit more studying, I discovered that every single one of the Gospels was written to a different audience for a specific purpose. And that's also true of the Gospel here of John. John's Gospel was written to prove that Jesus is not only the Messiah, but he's God. There is a lot of discussion. They say that this Gospel was written around 90 A.D., okay? And by that time, there had already begun some talk that Jesus was not God. And the Gnostic belief was starting to percolate a little bit. And so to combat that, not only did John, one of the apostles of Jesus, write those three letters that he wrote, but he also wrote this gospel specifically to address some of that issue. And so we get that right at the very beginning of his gospel. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay? He puts that out there right at the beginning of his gospel. And as we move through the gospel, we see John writing of miracles and the sayings of Christ, all with the intent to prove that those who read his gospel, that Jesus is the Christ and he is God. He also states the purpose toward the end of the gospel in John 20. He says, "The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the one recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life in the power of his name." Of all of the miracles that John recorded, of the miracles that are recorded in Luke and Matthew and in Mark, perhaps the miracle that we're talking about as we view this video and as we look at the Word of God is unsurpassed by any other. The only one that you might point to and say supersedes the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus would be Jesus' own resurrection. And so in John 11, and let me say here that everybody has their quiz sheet, and this is kind of an interactive presentation here this morning, okay? We're going to be quizzing you as we present this message. And so I'm going to ask my helpers, Alex and Brianna, and this is the way we're going to do it. Alex, you're going to take care of the people on this side, okay? So if you just come on up here and kind of position yourself on this side. And Brianna, you're going to take care of the people on this side, so you just kind of position yourself over here. So Alex Alex Shaw? Oh, okay, there you are. Okay. I was looking for you. You'd be over on this side. Okay? Okay, so as we open this gospel story in John chapter 11, we find out that somebody is sick. Okay? Can somebody tell me who it is that is sick? And who would that be, Jamel? Lazarus is sick. Go give that young man a sticker. Okay. And so Lazarus is sick. And something interesting that I discovered about Lazarus, his name actually comes from the name Eleazar. Eleazar, it's derived from that name. And that his name means whom God helps. Whom God helps. And isn't it interesting that he has a name that demonstrates exactly what he needed, help from God. And so where did Lazarus live? Where did Lazarus live? It's one of the questions on the quiz. Can anybody tell me where Lazarus lives? Cammy, way back there in the back row, where did Lazarus live? Where? Bethany, that's right. Alice, you take care of her. I don't know if that's Cammy or not. It's not Cammy. I can't make out who it is. You get a sticker. Okay. Now, in this presentation, we've already seen where Bethany was. Okay? And I'll just tell you, it was on the east side of the Mount of Olives. It's very near Jerusalem. And it was called the town of what? Okay. And Skylar. The town of Mary, yes. Kind of known locally as the town of Mary. Isn't that interesting? Mary must have been quite the personality, don't you think, to have people refer to the town as the town of Mary, and they kind of added in, oh yeah, and Lazarus and Martha lived there as well. But locally it was called the town of Mary. It's where Mary lived. Anybody else lived there besides Mary and Lazarus? There was a third person that lived there. Who was that back here? Who was it, Noah? Martha? Martha, that's right. Alex? We're keeping Alex busy on this side. Okay. Martha lived there. So now Mary and Martha's brother is sick. And so what did they do? How did they respond to the fact that their brother was sick? What did they do? Can anybody tell me? It's not one of the questions, but you had to listen to understand. What did they do? Young man? They did what? Okay, so what did they do? Because he was sick. Okay, that's true. Cecilia, do you know the answer to the question? They asked for Jesus. That's the correct answer. That's what I was looking for. Although what you said, Antonia, was right as well. They asked for Jesus. You know, it's interesting that they didn't start to think about all of the other things that they could do. And so I'll just put that question out there. When you're sick or when you have any kind of a need that presents itself, what is your first response? Do you take it to the Lord? Or do you think of all of the things that are in your medicine cabinet? Or do you immediately make the doctor's appointment? What is your first response? For Mary and Martha, they called on Jesus. Of course, then, as soon as we find out that there's a commercial break and we run into this character, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he has a scroll by what prophet? Can anybody tell me the name of the scroll that he has? Tony! Isaiah! Brianna, go give Tony a sticker. I know he wants one of those stickers. Okay. And then we're in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. First, we meet Martha. And what is Martha all concerned about? She seems to be just in a dither. Anybody have an answer to what was going on with Martha? If you've already answered, okay, Hannah. What was Martha doing? She was taking care of Lazarus. That's right. She was pretty concerned about all the work she had to do, wasn't she? Yeah, she was. You can go ahead and give her a sticker. Okay. And who has a name that sounds like the Greek word for Christ? Anybody that we might know have a name? Silas? Christy Jones, yes. Yes, give Silas a sticker here. I don't know if there was anybody walking around during that time that might have had a name that sounded like Christ, but certainly nowadays we see a lot of people named Christy, Christine, all of those derivatives, and it's important to understand that all comes from the name for Christ. And then we meet Mary. Now, it seems like there's kind of a personality difference here between Mary and Martha. What was Mary? How does she feel about Jesus? Anybody kind of want to tell me how Mary feels about Jesus? Okay. Victoria, you tell us what Mary thinks about Jesus.
It's good to love everyone.
Well, it's good to love everyone. Give her a sticker for that. Anybody else has what you got? I mean, adults are included in this. I should have said that. If you're an adult and you want to kind of tell me what, I mean, you'd like to have a sticker, wouldn't you? Okay, well, Jordan, okay, tell us about your sister, Mary. Give her a sticker. Yes, Mary seemed to be much closer to Jesus. Martha had, and we'll find out about Martha a little bit more here a little later, but Mary just wanted to be near Jesus. She wanted to be where he was because the words that he spoke brought life to her and really made a difference to her. And then finally, we meet Lazarus, and that he makes a statement here about who Jesus is to him. Okay? Can anybody say who Lazarus says Jesus is to him? Okay, we're going to go back here. We've already got you, Hannah.
His best friend. His
friend. That's true. He also says something else about Jesus.
His Savior.
Savior, his Messiah. Okay, right back here, Brianna. Young lady gets a sticker. For Lazarus, Jesus was his Messiah. He was also his friend. Also his friend. Okay, and then what happened to Lazarus? Unfortunately, he dies. Christy killed him. No, that we don't know that. I'm sure that probably didn't happen. Okay, but he does expire, okay, before Jesus gets there. So let's go back to Love Never Fails with Christy Jones.
Welcome back to Love Never Fails. I'm sorry to report that Lazarus, the beloved brother of Mary and Martha, died suddenly at his home in Bethany early this morning. To further add to the tragedy, the three siblings had hoped that Jesus of Nazareth would make it back in time to perform a miraculous healing. But it seems that this story was not to have such a happy ending. In fact, sources close to us say Jesus and his disciples just left yesterday to return to this Judean village. We are waiting along the roadway here, hoping to intercept them before they make it to Martha and Mary's house. And as a matter of fact, here come a group of men now, and from their serious expressions, I think they might be Jesus and his disciples. Let me ask a couple of questions. Excuse me, gentlemen, are you Jesus of Nazareth?
Oh, no, it's not me. This is Jesus.
So you're Jesus of Nazareth?
Yes, I am.
What just happened there?
Oh, our master.
He has a sense of humor. He likes to say his heavenly name and everybody falls to the ground. He usually only does it around strangers like you.
Well, thanks. I'd like a little warning next time. Anyway, Jesus, I need to ask you a couple of questions. I am...
I know who you are.
You do?
Christy. I like your name.
Well, I suppose you do. But really, I need to ask you some questions.
Woman, show some respect here. This is Jesus. What do you want here?
Well, I am the award-winning host of the top-rated program Love Never Fails. And our millions of viewers watch how God intervenes in their lives every day.
Well, millions of viewers?
Anyway, Peter, get out of the way. They need someone with personality.
Hey, what made you guys so special? I take a bath every day, whether I need it or not.
Oh, yes, and you still smell bad.
Enough! Hey, break it up! Break it up!
Hi, Mom!
Stop!
Okay, Christy. So, I know you've got a few questions that you wanted to ask me. Christy? Christy, go.
Oh! How did you do that?
Well, it's a little difficult to explain right now. Maybe later. So, I know that you've got a few questions that you wanted to ask me.
I have tons of questions I'd love to ask you.
Oh,
let me start
I know exactly what you want to ask. See, a few days ago, the disciples and I, we were up beyond the Jordan, where John was first baptizing. And then, as the day went on...
Master!
I bring word from Mary and Martha. Lazarus is very sick, and they ask that you come back immediately to heal him.
This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Come, Alex. Sit with us.
You mean you're not coming back to Bethany?
Okay, guys, rise and shine. We've got to get moving.
Where are we going?
I was just dreaming of this machine that has all this information on it.
No.
I'm going back to sleep.
No time for that now. We've got to get moving. We've got to go to Judea. Again.
Master, a week ago they tried to stone you there. Why would we go back?
Those Jewish leaders, you know, they throw like girls. Yeah, they'd probably aim at Jesus and hit us.
If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light. But if anyone walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.
Oh, now I understand. Not.
Listen, guys, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I go that I may awaken him out of his sleep.
Oh, I get it. Lazarus has fallen asleep. We're going to all walk 18 miles so Jesus can be his personal wake-up call. Yeah, brilliant.
Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may see and believe.
Let's go with them, that we may die with him.
So, that brings us back to now. Please excuse me. Disciples, go. So, Christy, does that answer all your questions?
Yes, all but my number one question. Why did it take you so long to come back to Bethany? I mean, now that Lazarus is dead, where's the glory?
And that question will be answered soon enough. But first, I must speak with Martha.
Jesus! Jesus! I know if you had been there, my brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you.
Your brother will rise again.
I know that he'll rise again on the last day of the resurrection.
I am the resurrection and the life. And he who dies, though he is in me, he will live. And anyone who dies, if he is in me, he will live. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, even who comes into the world.
On me, in 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what we've witnessed here is so moving. Jesus was so tender and compassionate, yet he had such strength to a woman who was in so much pain. And look, here comes Mary.
I made it. My brother wouldn't have died.
Where have they laid him?
Come and see.
Remove the stone.
Master, by now the smell will be overpowering. He's been dead for 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But for the sake of those who are standing here, I have said this, so that they may believe that you have sent me. Lazarus, come forth. Unbind him, let him go.
I believe, and just like Lazarus said, Jesus is always on time. Join us again for another exciting episode of Love Never Fails, because I have no more questions now. Nope, no questions here.
Give everybody that was involved in that some thanks. Okay, well, we saw basically the whole story of the miracle that Jesus wrought there when he raised Lazarus from the dead. In the skit, we see Christy encounter Jesus and the disciples along the way, and they all fall down. Why did that happen? What caused him to fall down? Anybody have an answer to that question, Alex?
Jesus said his name, and Jesus is God, and whenever he says his name, people bow down to him.
Okay, what did he say? She said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? He said,
yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Okay, give Ben a sticker. Okay. Now, our friend Alex, the runner here, goes up to find Jesus, and where was Jesus when Alex found him? That's one of the questions on the quiz. Where was Jesus when Alex found him? Anybody have an answer to that? Okay, Cammie. Yes, that's right. He was up beyond the Jordan where John was first baptizing. She gets a sticker. Good job. Okay. We're learning about this story here. Now, how far was that spot from where Bethany was? How far, Taylor? About 18 miles, that's right. Give Taylor a sticker. So what we find out here is Lazarus is alive, okay, and the sisters send for Jesus, okay? He wasn't just right around the corner, and it didn't take just a couple of minutes to find him. It took a walk probably at least a day, and if the person was running, maybe around 12 to 15 hours to get there if they were kind of a marathon runner. And so it's 18 miles. Okay, so Jesus said what about Lazarus' sickness? We see the runner, the message comes to Jesus, and Jesus says what about the sickness? Hopefully this is helping you to understand the story a little bit better. What does he say about the sickness? Hannah, you know the answer to all these questions, don't you? Do you know what he said? He would get better? Well, he does get better. He gets a lot better. But he said that the sickness is not unto death. He said the sickness is not unto death, but that God would be glorified and that the Son of God would be glorified by it. But then Lazarus dies. So how do you square that with what Jesus said, that the sickness is not unto death, but then Lazarus dies? I'll answer that question. When Jesus says that the sickness is not unto death, he's saying that it's not unto eternal death. Okay? That Lazarus is dead, okay? He acknowledges that just a little bit later, that Lazarus is dead, but he's not going to stay dead, okay? It's not unto death that lasts, all right? And so he says that through what Lazarus went through, that the Son of God is going to be glorified and that God is going to receive glory from it. It also seems as if that sickness itself may have come upon Lazarus so that God might receive glory. Is it possible to think that that might be the case? That someone would get sick, even a sickness that would lead to death, and through that experience, God could be glorified by it? You know, there are those that would say that there's no way to glorify God in sickness. How can God be glorified through sickness? We know that through this experience with Lazarus and through this story, that God did receive tremendous glory as a result of the sickness of Lazarus. Okay. And so the disciples and Jesus go back to the Judea, and they first see Martha. And Martha runs up to Jesus, and she says, what? What does she say? You've got your Bible. If you don't know the answer, maybe you can check it out that way. Okay? She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even so, I know that God hears you, and whatever you ask, he will do. Okay? Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does she think that Jesus is going to raise her brother from the dead when she says that, I understand that in you is the ability to ask God for anything, and it will be done? Is that what she's saying? Well, she doesn't come right out and ask Jesus to raise her brother from the dead. She doesn't say, Jesus, my brother has died, but I know that you can raise him from the dead, so I want you to come and raise him from the dead. She doesn't say that. But by what she does say, you might think that possibility might be rattling around in there just a little bit. She's definitely hurt. And she expresses that as well, saying, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus responds to what Martha says by saying, your brother will rise again. And we get a hint where Martha's faith is in her response, that she knows he will rise at the resurrection on the last day. In that time, many Jews believe that there would be a resurrection at the end of time, that there would be a resurrection. Some of the Jews, the Sadducees, did not believe in the resurrection. And that's why they were sad, you see. Okay, that's an old bad joke. Okay. Then Jesus responds to Martha with these words, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks Martha, do you believe this? Martha responds by saying, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. That's an amazing statement. It demonstrates that, yes, Martha, she was consumed with work. She had a lot on her mind. She had a lot to get done. But at the same time, she knew who Jesus was. And it seemed like that whole family had a pretty close relationship with Jesus. Jesus, to them, was the Christ. Then Mary comes, and she basically says the same thing as Martha, that if you had been there, my brother would not have died. And at that, it says that Jesus beheld Mary weeping, and he looked around, and he saw all of the mourners around, and they were all weeping, and it says that he groaned in his spirit, and that he was troubled. And then it says, shortly after that, that Jesus wept. And the response, as they behold him weeping, it says that some of the Jews said, boy, he really must have loved him a lot. Just see how much he's moved by the death of Lazarus, that he's weeping. Now, did Jesus know that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? Yes, he did. So was he weeping for Lazarus? No, I don't think that he was. I think he looked at the crowd around there, and he saw how upset they were. He saw how emotionally they were moved to that point of tears, that they had lost someone that they had loved. And so they were moved to tears. In addition to that, there were those that showed up at that tomb of Lazarus, and they were just there to find out, what in the world's going to happen here? They said, surely, if he had been here, if this man who could heal all manner of sickness had been here, he could have healed Lazarus. And they were watching to see what Jesus was going to do, what he was going to do. And there was a lot of people that had hard hearts that were gathered there. They were kind of hoping to see Jesus just fall flat on his face. And Jesus wept for those folks too, because he understood that they were not going to receive the gift that he was going to give them. So then Jesus and the crowd are at the tomb, and he says to remove the stone. Now, Lazarus had been dead how long? Who can say, Allie? 4 days. Give Allison a sticker. Okay. He'd been dead for 4 days. During that time, they believed that when a person dies, that the spirit of the person kind of hung around for a little while and then went. They thought that the limit of time was limited to about 3 days. That even the spirit of the person that died could have been there. Now, that was just a belief. It was not a fact. It was just a belief that they had. But he had been dead for 4 days. He'd been dead for 4 days. So even with the belief that existed, that possibly his spirit was still hovering some place around here, that is canceled out by the fact that he was dead for 4 days. And so Martha, when Jesus says, roll away the stone, she says, whoa, it's going to what? What's she worried about with regard to the stone? What about when the stone is rolled away? Delaney? It would smell really bad, yeah. It was going to stink. Yeah, the King James says it stinketh. And it did. It stinketh bad. And so we know that he's been dead for 4 days. We knew it took about a day and a half in that neighborhood for Alex or for whoever it was that made it to Jesus. So this whole story covers a period of about 6 days from the beginning when somebody is sent to go get Jesus until Jesus shows up. It takes about 6 days. Jesus responds to Martha saying, didn't I say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, we have spent quite a bit of time on Martha here. She's a works-oriented person. Yet she does have a belief in Jesus. Jesus is saying this kind of in essence to Martha. Martha, yes, yeah, he would stink, and you can't clean it up. And even if you could, you wouldn't see the glory of God. You have got to believe. And then you will see his glory. And folks, if any of us have a desire to see the manifest glory of God, we have to believe. That's where it's going to come from. It's not going to come from the works that we do. It's not going to come just because we have our morning devotions. We have to believe in who Jesus is and pursue him in relationship. Then Jesus prays, and he thanks God that and says that he knows that God always hears him. Now, isn't that a comforting thought? Because right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the God, of Father, and he's interceding for us. And we can be comforted with the fact that the Father hears what he's praying for you and for me. And so, Jesus prays, and then he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, and Lazarus comes out. And what did Jesus say? Did he say, Lazarus, lend me a quarter? Can I borrow a quarter? Did he say, Lazarus, come fifth? What did he say? What did he say, Claire? Come forth? That's what he said. Give Claire a sticker. It's right back there. Good job. Lazarus, come forth. And he came out. He came out of the tomb. And Jesus said that as a result of that, of the miracle, he said this beforehand, that God the Father would be glorified and that he would be glorified through that. And if you read on in the gospel, it says as a result of this miracle, many came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But again, it says that there were those that went off to report what had happened to the Pharisees. Lazarus comes out alive and well. And so the question would be, based on the title of the message, was Jesus on time? Yes, he was. How long Lazarus lived after he was resurrected, we don't know. But Lazarus did die. They dug a grave, or they put him back in the tomb. You're going back, Lazarus. You're going back into the tomb. But he did die. And there's going to be a day, if we believe, that when we get to heaven, we're going to get to meet Jesus, and we're going to get to meet Lazarus, and we're going to get to meet Mary, and we're going to get to meet Martha. But the one that I want to see the most is Jesus. The resurrection of Lazarus was the second to the last miracle Jesus performed prior to his crucifixion. The last was the healing of the high priest's ear that Peter had cut off. Now, this is really very important here, what I'm going to share here, and it's really kind of the essence of the message. With every miracle that God performed from the creation of the world throughout the Old and the New Testament, God changed something in the physical realm. There were seas that were parted, a donkey spoke, a widow's son was raised from the dead, the lame walked, the blind were healed, water was turned into wine, a young girl was raised from the dead, and Lazarus was raised from the dead. All of these are physical manifestations of the power of God. And that power was manifested, of course, in a supernatural way. And we look at that, and maybe the limit of our understanding is that, wow, God is all-powerful. God can do anything. If he can raise somebody from the dead, if he can speak the world into existence, he can do absolutely anything. And that should be part of what we believe. But in the miracle of Lazarus' resurrection, a dead man is brought back to life. He wasn't just a little bit dead. He was 4 days dead. Without Jesus summoning his spirit back into his body, Lazarus would have remained in the grave. Here's the deal. Without Jesus changing our hardened hearts of unbelief into a heart that believes, we are dead now and will be eternally dead. It isn't a physical manifestation of resurrection that God wants to perform in us. God wants us to believe he sent Jesus so that we can experience the greatest miracle possible. And we read through all of the Bible and we see all of the miracles. That miracle, and I'll just say this, there's not one miracle recorded in the Bible save the resurrection of Jesus Christ that holds a candle to the miracle that's wrought when God changes a man's heart. When God changes a man's heart. Because until that happens, any person without belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is headed to a destiny of eternal damnation, to hell forever. The only thing that's going to change that, the only thing that's going to change that hardened heart is a belief in Jesus Christ. He gives us that spirit of eternal life. And it's that spirit of eternal life within us that can cause a young woman driving through Kentucky to hear the voice of God and be blessed. It's that spirit of life that will prompt you to share the amazing story of the gospel and see someone's life changed in a moment. And it's that spirit of life that lets us know that when we're hoping and when we're praying and that when we're clinging, that Jesus is going to be there. And he's going to be there right on time. So right now, it's time.
Why don't we stand together if we could? And let's just be quiet and close our eyes if we could for a moment. First of all, we want to take an opportunity here. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the greatest miracle possible can happen today. And as Brother Dave was speaking about the transformed heart, that's not something we can muster up. That's not something we can go to counseling for. That only comes by the power of God's Spirit. If you're here today and you want to give yourself to the God who loved you so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have life, no one looking around but me, just raise your hand and I'll remember you in prayer today. He brought you here to hear a special message. This is even more important than a man in history being raised from the dead. This is about you today coming into the family of God fulfilling the reason for your existence. If you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, and you say, Pastor, will you remember me in prayer after the service? Between you and I, just could you raise your hand? I'll remember you after the service. Definitely take time and pray for you. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus is 4 days late, he's still on time. How often do we think he's late? How often do we think, where is the promise of his coming? How long, O Lord? Well, our perspective is a perspective, but it's not the perspective. And so right now, you might be in the middle of something. You're waiting for something. Maybe some of you kids are sad about what's going on in your family. Maybe there's some problems with your parents. Maybe you're having a hard time with a brother or a sister, and you're waiting for God to do something good and to make things right. Perhaps on the job, you're going through a season, and God's told you to wait. God's in the waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait upon God will not be put to shame. But trust me, one of the hardest things for us to do is wait, especially as Americans. And the Lord is right now, he's wanting to communicate that message loud and clear, that even from our perspective, this stinketh. You're 4 days late, this stinketh. He's still on time. And it'll be in a way, like Dave said, it'll be at the time when he'll get the greatest glory, and you'll go, ah, much better that he did it when he wanted to. If that's where you're at right now and you're in that season, could you raise your hand and we'll pray together? Because God is here for you right now. Lord, we thank you that by faith, as we surrender once again, you're into our hearts, you want our hearts, you want our faith. As you're here right now, you're meeting your people, and you have spoken clearly by your Spirit and said that even from our perspective, when you're 4 days late, you're right on time. Lord, may we be the people that wait upon you, people that are not put to shame, but people who have their strength renewed. I pray for those right now that are waiting for a healing, that they're saying, how long? Lord, I pray, God, that they would know that healing will come in your way, in your time. I pray, God, for those that are financially challenged, that they're waiting for that job. They're waiting for that call. They're waiting for that letter. I pray, God, that in the waiting time that they'd come to know you, and they'd see your great glory, Jesus. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, God, for that soul we're waiting for, that precious one that grieves our heart. As we say, how long, O Lord? Touch him. Lord, we know that by you, even when you seem 4 days late, you're still on time. And we just commit ourselves to you and to your perfect timing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.